Open in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. This morning we'll be looking at John chapter 14, verses 1 through 11. Hear now the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Jesus says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves." Our Lord in heaven, we pray that today you would grant comfort to your people, that you would reorient our minds and our hearts to the promises and truths of your word. And when we are unsettled, when we are shaken up, that we would find ultimate rest in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lead us by your Holy Spirit to the solidity and firm foundation of your word and the truthfulness of your promises. Lord, we pray that you would use this jar of clay for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Well, life is hard. It's tiring. It's crazy. It's busy. It's filled with trials and sufferings and afflictions, anxieties and duties and fears. Life at times can be unsettling. If 2020 has taught us anything, it's taught us that life is unsettling. And sometimes things can be so overwhelming, so severe, that we can almost be paralyzed by our circumstances. Depression can set in. Panic attacks can arise within us. Fear can grip our hearts. Life at times can be unsettling. And so much so that sometimes it can be hard to imagine carrying on. Hard to think that we can press on through this unsettling situation we may find ourselves in. Hard to imagine trying to process life. On the text before us this morning, we find the disciples in this kind of place in their lives. Panic is setting in. Their hearts are churning within them. They're in turmoil. They're unsettled. How are they going to go on after Jesus leaves them? How will they be comforted? How will they process life when there's such a drastic change occurring? Well, that's really what this part of John's gospel focuses on. It's Jesus' farewell address to his disciples. That's what it's all about. Jesus' tender instruction and comfort for his people. And in this first portion of John chapter 14, Jesus endeavors to bring comfort to his disciples in this very unsettling time in their lives. And it's in that circumstance that he calls them to trust him. To trust him. We've just come through a very difficult and unsettling year, and we're about to step into another year, and we have no idea what is going to come our way. We don't know what is before us this year. But we do know what is before us this morning. The Word of God. We do know who stands at our right hand, the Son of God himself. And it's this Son of God who calls to you this morning as well, that in the unsettled times of your life, to trust in him. In the unsettled times in your life, trust Jesus. That's really the main point for you this morning. Because your heart may be troubled in this life. It may be troubled right now. But Jesus calls you to trust him. Take a look at verse 1 again. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me, Jesus said. Jesus recognizes that his disciples are in a very unsettled time in their lives, a very unsettled place in their hearts. Their hearts are troubled. And this word troubled in the original language carries this idea of being shaken up, having inner turmoil, being stirred up or disturbed or churned up or thrown into confusion even. You know, it's Christmas time. Often we like to decorate with festive things, and maybe some of you have snow globes in your home. And when a snow globe is sitting on the shelf undisturbed, the snow is resting very peacefully inside that globe. But when you take it, what do you with it? You shake it up. And all of a sudden, all that snow inside begins to whirl around. It's unsettled. It becomes disturbed. It's thrown into confusion. The snow goes everywhere. And that's what's happening in the hearts of these disciples at this point. Their hearts have been shaken up into a state of turmoil and confusion in their lives. But why would they feel this way? What has happened that would lead them to this point? Well, just think about what's been happening in their lives, even just this evening here. Undoubtedly, they're saddened because they know that Jesus is going to leave them. They're probably ashamed because of their own pride and selfishness that was displayed during the whole foot washing situation, and when they didn't want to wash anybody's feet, so Jesus got up and washed everybody's feet. They're probably perplexed and confused that one of their own number would betray the Lord. And even beyond that, someone would go on to deny the Lord, Peter himself. And maybe their faith is even wavering, wondering how it is that the true Messiah could be one who would be betrayed and denied. Life is bearing down on them. The reality of their circumstances is shaking them up and unsettling them. And maybe it's doing the same thing to you. Maybe you're ashamed, you're saddened, you're perplexed and confused. Maybe your faith is wavering in this moment. Your heart may be troubled as well because of the things you're experiencing in life right now. Things that are disturbing you and bringing turmoil into your heart. Could be that cancer diagnosis that you have or the treatment that you're going through. Maybe it's the state of your finances and not sure how you're going to make it even to the end of this year. Maybe it's your job security, not knowing whether you're going to have a job or have more jobs come your way to sustain your existence. Maybe there's family uncertainty, strife in the relationships you have with parents or siblings or children. Maybe it's the uncertainty of what will happen with the children who are in your home. Maybe there's school stress. Add on top of that all the social distress that we have been experiencing this past year, the government unrest, and then the COVID-19 disease and illness we've all been experiencing. There's a lot of things to shake us up, a lot of things to leave us unsettled. But Jesus tells his disciples, and he tells you and me, not to let our hearts be troubled, but to trust in him. And Jesus gives us three comforts for us to trust in. Three things that come from Jesus Christ himself, that we can find peace, that we can find comfort and rest in these confusing, unsettling times. And the first one is this: he has prepared a place for you in glory. He has prepared a place for you in glory. Look at what he says at the beginning in verse 2. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And so in the midst of their turmoil, Jesus has the disciples take a step back and get the proper perspective. Jesus wants to reorient their minds. He wants to reorient their hearts. He wants them to have the eternal perspective. And so he draws their eyes to the dwelling place of God. He says, in my Father's house. Immediately their minds and their hearts have to go up. In my Father's house. This is where God dwells. This is heaven. And in this place, Jesus says, there are many rooms. Some translations say many mansions. And what Jesus is saying here is that in heaven with God, there are places for people to live, places for them to be, places for them to belong. There are many rooms, mansions. And that word rooms refers to a permanent dwelling place with God, a permanent abode with God. And that word mansions may be a bit misleading to our modern ears. It comes from the Latin version's word mansiones, which simply means lodging places. But it does convey that idea of something being really big. And I think that's what Jesus is trying to communicate. There's a lot of room for God's people to dwell in heaven, a place where man and God can once again live together. And Jesus says that he's going there to prepare a place for them. And he says in verse 3 that if he goes to prepare this place, he's going to return and receive them to himself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so listen to this. Jesus is not simply satisfied to just bring you to heaven. Jesus wants to bring you to himself. Jesus wants to bring you to his own embrace so that you and Jesus can be together to live with him forever. Several years ago, I had a friend who had to leave the States and go to Japan for his duties for the U.S. Air Force. He was being stationed in Japan. And for a little while, he had to leave his wife back here in the States. So for a time, they were separated. And one of the things he had to do when he got to Japan was to make preparations and living arrangements for his wife to come over to live in Japan. And as he did this, his purpose for making all of these preparations and finding a living place for her wasn't just to get his wife to Japan so she could live there, but the whole purpose of making all of those preparations, going through all the effort, was to bring her to himself, so that they could live together, so they could be together, so they could share their lives together. And this is what Jesus has done for his people. I go to prepare a place for you, Jesus said to them. And true, he didn't cross an ocean to go prepare a place for us, but he did swallow an ocean of God's wrath to bring his own people to himself. True, he didn't purchase a house or rent an apartment so that we could live with him, but he did die on the cross to purchase his people for himself so that we could live with him forever in peace and in glory. Brothers and sisters, Jesus speaks these words to the disciples and to you and to me to remind us of our future hope. Whenever our current lives and our situations seem so unsettled and so out of control. Because in the midst of all of the turmoil, all of the trouble, one thing remains true. That Jesus Christ, your Savior, has secured a place for you with him in glory forever. That is something you can believe in. That is something that can comfort your hearts in an unsettled time, that you will be with Jesus for all eternity. This is what led Paul to say that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed to us. This is the comfort that Jesus gives to his disciples and to you. And you can focus on this truth, this comfort in our troubled lives. Now, these words that Jesus speaks to his disciples, that he speaks to you and me, aren't make us to be daydreamers and only think about glory and not think about what's going on in our lives now. But instead, it's to impact the way we live our lives now, in the here and now. Your present struggles are only temporary, but your time with Jesus will be forever. So remind yourself of this when your heart is troubled. Let it comfort your soul and your heart. Well, not only can you trust Jesus for and find comfort in his preparing a place for you in glory, but secondly, you can trust that he has shown you the way. Jesus has shown you the way to glory. Look at what Jesus says in verses 4 through 6. "And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So after describing the hope of glory, the hope of heaven, Jesus tells them that they know how to get there. Well, wait a minute. What do you mean? What do you mean we know how to get there? You say you prepared a place for us, but we don't know where to go. We don't know how to get there. You're leaving us. How will we find you? You can almost hear the panic in Thomas's voice. And yet, despite that misunderstanding, Jesus comforts them by revealing that he is their way to glory. He is their way to heaven. He is their way to the Father. So Jesus not merely shows them the way, but he says he is the way. It's through Jesus that people have access to the Father and to glory. It's through belief in the truth which Jesus speaks and the truth which Jesus is that we have access to salvation and glory. Jesus has revealed the truth of the gospel to them as opposed to the lies of the world around them. He is the dependable source of redemptive revelation. He is the gospel. He is their source of life, of eternal life, the one who frees them from the curse of physical and spiritual death. And he did so by his own sacrifice on the cross. Because of Jesus Christ, they can live in glory. He is their true and living way. And apart from this access to glory, no one can arrive there. No one can get there. There's no other Savior. There's no other gospel, no other source of life besides he whom the Father has sent, Jesus Christ. And so Jesus tells them, "You know me. You believe in me. Therefore, you know your way to heaven. You know how to get there. You have open and ready access to glory for all eternity." And brothers and sisters, so do you. You know how to get there. You don't need to figure out how to get there on your own. You don't need to question whether you found the right path to God or not. Jesus is your guaranteed access and way to glory. What a wonderful and beautiful truth that is. Jesus takes you to glory. Amidst the difficulty and chaos and turmoil of life, Jesus speaks this stabilizing truth to comfort the hearts of his people. He has guaranteed your place in heaven and guaranteed your way to get there. And so the weight of the burden of your soul salvation has been lifted from you. That thing which causes the most unsettledness in the existence of man has been settled for you. You are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. He is your way to glory. Jesus will take you there. Trust in him. So the first comfort, Jesus has prepared a place for you in glory. Secondly, in Jesus, you find your way to glory. And thirdly and finally, in Jesus, you know and have fellowship with the Father of glory. Look at verses 7 through 11. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. So having just told the disciples of the blessed assurance that he is their guaranteed way to the Father in glory, the thought might have arisen in their minds, well, yes, Jesus, you are our Lord and Master. You care for us. You promise us all of these wonderful things. But how do we know that the Father views us in the same way? You have become our friend. You love us, but how do we know that we'll be received by the Father when we get there? It's kind of like a young man and a young woman when they become interested in one another. They both like one another. They both enjoy one another's company. They share the same passions and interests and goals for the future. They're comfortable and at peace in one another's presence, but it's often an unsettling time, a very anxious time, for the young man to meet the girl's parents for the first time. Well, what if they don't like me? What if they don't receive me or accept me? What if they don't love me like you love me? What if I'm not good enough for them? What if I'm not what they want for their daughter? Will I get along with them like I get along with you? Jesus, yes, he's secured a place for us in heaven. He's even secured our way to heaven. But what of the Father? Does he want me? Will he receive me? And what Jesus does is comfort them with the truth that because they are in a relationship with him and know him, they are in a relationship with the Father and know the Father as well. He declares, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. That the Father is in him and he is in the Father. Jesus and the Father are united together in one mind. And so Jesus can say that he speaks whatever the Father speaks. Jesus is the perfect expression of who the Father is. As the writer to the Hebrews says, Jesus is the brightness of his glory, in the express image of his person. And since that's the case, the character of the Father is the character of the Son. And the character of the Son is the character of the Father. Jesus' words and actions toward the disciples are consistent with the Father's words and actions towards the disciples. Jesus' disposition of love and mercy and grace toward them is the Father's disposition toward them. It's as if Jesus were saying, My friends, I receive you. Therefore, my Father shall receive you. And the same thing is true for you and me. And we need to understand this because I don't know if this is something that you struggle with. The thought that though you have sweet and secure relationship with Jesus, that your relationship with the Father still might be on shaky ground. That the terms of that relationship might not be utterly settled. This is something that was talked a lot about whenever I was a Catholic. That the Father, he was the angry one. And that was his disposition toward me all of the time. And that I needed Jesus to continually plead to the Father to pacify his wrath against me. Because he was always angry with me, and so I needed Jesus to say, no, calm down, he's okay, I can vouch for him. And that had to happen all the time, even after I was saved, until I made it to heaven. If I even made it to heaven, I didn't have to spend time in purgatory. And sometimes it was taught and even talked about that Jesus was angry with me too. And so I had to go to his mom and ask his mom to calm him down and pacify his wrath and his anger for me. What a bunch of nonsense that is. Paul says in Galatians that it is the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And John says that it was God the Father who so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. Your heavenly Father does not and will not begrudgingly receive you. But in love, he welcomes you into his presence as Christ does. Since you know Jesus, you know the Father. Since you are in a relationship with Jesus, you are in a relationship with the Father. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, Jesus says. What a beautiful and precious truth. What a beautiful, precious love of Christ for you. It's the same as the Father's love for you. And so when in tumultuous situations in your life, be comforted in the truth that in Jesus you know and you have fellowship with the Father who loves you and who receives you. In the unsettling times in your life, trust Jesus, because life is hard. It's crazy. It's busy. It's filled with trials and sufferings, anxieties and duties and fears. And so often our lives are shaken up by these things. We're in turmoil. Our hearts are troubled. But Jesus would have us step back and see things from that eternal perspective. And have us step back and put things into perspective by looking at his promises, by leaning and resting on his words, to take a step back and look at these eternal words of comfort, these promises of Jesus in which you can trust, that Jesus has prepared a place for you in glory, and that you know the way there because you know Jesus Christ. And because you know Jesus Christ and are in a relationship with him, you know and are in a relationship with the Father, and he will receive you as well. And so when your life becomes overwhelming, stop. Stop and focus on these things. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. When your hearts become troubled, thank God for these truths. In the unsettled times of your life, trust in Jesus. Let's pray. Our Lord in heaven, we thank you so much for these anchoring truths that you give to us when our lives seem to be blown and tossed by the wind on the waves of the sea. Lord, you have anchored us to the bedrock of your word, and we will not be moved. But Lord, help us to see, help us to perceive these truths, that we would find comfort in our hearts. Lord, grant us these things by your Holy Spirit, and give us great faith, great strength and confidence as we step into this new year. We ask you to do this for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.